DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Anders Logic.
I'm so balls deep in Binding of Isaac right now. Binding of Isaac. It's time for golf with friends.
Flopsy.
You didn't want to talk about we need to go deeper?
Your host, Robert Digital.
It's very large.
And Smoochie.
As a black male, it is not safe for me to play Pokemon Go.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
This is Chi.
I'm Emilio.
I'm Chad. I'm Super Guy.
He's still with us in spirit. All right. So first of all, first order of business, new Patreon, Michael. Yeah.
Michael, thank you so much.
Whose successor won, who, by the way, I just thought he was a Patreon already, but I guess I was mistaken. Now he has that sweet green Patreon color. If you'd like the Patreon color on Discord, you can donate. I think as low as $5, you get a T-shirt and you get the green color,
yep,
which is pretty sweet.
And this is extra special because it's been a while since we had a new Patreon. So, Michael, thank you very much for, how do you put it? When, you know,
like a slump buster?
Yeah, basically something like that.
Yeah. Usually it's an ugly chick. This time it was a man named Michael.
It's a good time to be a Patreon, though, because we've got a new shirt coming out soon, and we're asking people to help us decide which one that's going to be. If you go to our website, dlgaming.net, the second post, the first post you'll see is going to be this episode, but if you scroll down below that, you will see a t-shirt poll, and you can vote on which design you would like to see on a t-shirt. Let's check in with that and see.
Let's check in live with the polls.
Well, last I checked, it looked like the XCOM one was doing really well. And I do like that design. I just thought the PUBG one would be getting a little more traction.
Yeah, me too.
PUBG is at 23%.
And so is XCOM.
Oh, it is tied with the XCOM design. So you can make a difference if you're listening right now, dlgaming.net. Cast your vote.
And, you know, if you still, it's not like other things are, the TF2 one's like not far behind. But that's pretty much it. Everything else. Oh, and our crest. That crest, I think we want to kind of put it as a patch somewhere. We'll figure it out, though.
Yeah.
And I'm going to work on the posters for what is it called? The $30 sounded like too much tier. And we will be selling those separately, too, maybe as stickers.
Yep, so, and we're still working on that this those week. Game changer bodies too for our next poster. So
yeah, now that Chad is Chad's gone, I have to take care of all the imagery stuff. If you have time to clean up some of our images and stuff, let me know, and we'll talk.
Yep. All right. And before we get into the games, just want to give a shout out to Bloody Keyboards. They have been hooking us up with keyboards. They are sending us yet another one, a B820, which is the one that we really liked.
That I stole from Bobby.
Yep. So that's getting replaced.
Well, at least I had a reason. I was like, hey, try out this one. I don't like it. Maybe you'll like it. But then Chi took it, and she's just sitting on it, keeping it warm.
I'm not sitting on it. Honestly, I did plug it in today for the first time. I haven't used it authentically to give it an honest review. But I will tell you, plugging that thing in and watching it load up, it brings me back to my room. Like rainbow bright days. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Or what it's like where it's the little board where you put in the different
light colors. Bright.
Light bright, yes. Yeah. Sorry. And it's beautiful. And when my computer loaded up, it asked for my Windows password, and which is a PIN. And I immediately, like muscle memory, went to the right side. Yeah. Went, fuck, what the hell is this? And used the numpad with my left hand.
Having the numpad on the left is
not true. So already it's, you know, it's got a negative mark.
Yeah. I got to say, it's
for making me, I like, if I were left-handed, maybe, but numpad on the left side, I still don't get it. But it's pretty, very pretty.
And it's very easy to change those colors. You could even turn them off. Hold the function key and just hit 1 through 12, mm-hmm. and it'll change different. It is not only rainbow. It's like,
well, I had programmed the 20 to just turn off the lights completely.
Yeah.
And after I had switched back to my old one, I really began to miss the 820. Like, I was on the fence for a little bit. I had both of them hooked up, and I used the 820 a little bit more. Then I went back to the DOS keyboard, and immediately I was like, nope, I gotta get that B820.
The 820 is fucking awesome, guys. Like, it's just it's like a stealth. It's like a stealth fucking keyboard.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any noise. But you don't get a tactile feel. So if you want that, you probably want one of their other keyboards. Anyway, use the go to Amazon. Use Bloody DL, all caps. I don't know if that's important. At checkout, and you'll save 10%. And they'll know that they're getting a little love from us.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about some games on the radar, games that are coming up. She, what do you got for us?
Okay, so here we are going to do the five games game again.
Cheese and five time, games game?
Yeah, this cheese five games game. So we're going to go ahead and see how I do with this one. So what I'm going to do is recite five games, read the description, and you guys make a decision on which game out of the five that were released this week that you could see yourself purchasing. And the first game is going to be The First Tree. With this game here, it is a single-player indie adventure, very atmospheric. It's a beautiful third-person exploration game centered around two parallel stories, a fox trying to find her missing family, and a son reconnecting with his estranged father in Alaska. You uncover artifacts from the son's life as he becomes intertwined in the fox's journey towards the first tree. So I imagine very storytelling. The second game here is Oriental Empires. This one here is a historical indie turn-based strategy game. It recreates the civilizations of ancient China. You develop your land, build great cities, raise huge armies, and fight epic battles. With hundreds of soldiers fighting right on the game map, advance your technologies, culture, and religion to create one of mankind's biggest empires. This is single-player and multiplayer online. Another online game that's coming out, it's called is recently out, called Acel World versus Sword Art Online. If you are a weeb, you understand that these are two different animes merging together to form an MMO online. In this one here, you recruit your favorite characters along the anime and novel series. You get to fly around, deploy magic, and use sword skills. And there's also and then you unite up to four players online through the story mode. So that's pretty cool. Number four, we are on to Hive Swap. This one here, it's a point-and-click indie adventure. It's a hand-drawn tribute to the 90s adventures games. And none of the accompanying frustration. You play as Joey Clare, a problem-solving teen snatched out of 1994 Earth and stranded on a hostile alien planet on the brink of rebellion. And then, of course, last but not least, we have Dishonored, Death of the Outsider. This is a complete standalone adventure in the Dishonored series, action, stealth, and first person. Basically, in this one, you are a badass supernatural assassin, and you take the role of the notorious Billy Lurk as she reunites with her mentor, Dodd, in order to pull off the greatest assassination ever conceived.
All right. Amelia, which one is it going to be?
It's weird because, like, I would definitely go with... First of all, I want to know why there's anime and oriental. I'm already seeing cheese influences in the selection of the games.
That's not true. Chad actually, he's the one that
Chad
plays
was the
more.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. But I did actually watch both Acel World and Sword Art Online. So if you've seen the anime, I would say this is a really good way to replay your own like story. Well, the story itself, but kind of like be involved in the story because it's all about humans plugging into MMOs.
Oh,
these
animes.
Yeah.
There's another one like that, right? Like Dot Hack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the more original, MMOs, inception games.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, I would just be like Dishonored, right? Cause I like the first one so much, but I think I might be the only one, any guy in the world that didn't like part two. Like, I don't know why I didn't like it. It just didn't. I keep hearing the PC Gamer guys say it. They like rated it like second best game possible on PC right now. Like, I don't know what I missed, but like, because I liked the first one so much, I'm going to go probably with Dishonored with the runner up with the point and click one. The art looked really cool. It looks like a cartoon.
Yeah. Hive Swap.
Yeah, Hive Swap Act One.
Yeah.
Oh, but the problem with Act One is like, hopefully it's not like a 5-part thing that they're just piecing out like that, because I almost always wait for all 5 to be out.
Life is Strange did it. They did it pretty well.
Yeah, but I waited till they were all out before I played
it. Oh, you did.
I don't like to wait.
All right. And how about you, Bobby?
I would either have to go with Hive Swap. Definitely no on... I can't do anime, so scratch that one.
The Sword Art Online game, he's saying now.
Oriental Empires looks kind of good, but 4X strategy, it's just like, I don't got the time. Hive Swap, I love the art style. I like point-and-click adventures, 90s throwback. That sounds appealing. The first tree, now I'm going to scroll down and see, is this by the same people that did... Well,
no,
I don't know, but this looks very much like Shelter. Did you guys play any of the Shelter games?
No.
Okay, it doesn't seem to be associated with them. Who's a developer? David Welle.
Wheel?
Yeah, I don't know how you pronounce that. But the Shelter games were actually pretty decent. There's a lot of them at this point. I played the first one, but they're nothing like large scale. You know, it's just a fun little game.
This looks like a game. It doesn't look like a long game. And if it was, it would definitely overstay its welcome.
If I can say what this game reminds me of, it's they call it atmospheric. And the only other atmospheric game I can really say I played was called The Path. The Path is a little bit where basically the world is open world, but there's not much to do except run around, piece together clues, and it unfolds the story for you. Mm-hmm. But this one here, it seems like you could do a little bit more, though. There's more things to interact with. You can actually jump around. It's not just a walking simulator.
Yeah.
You guys remember
so
your first...
similar to Shelter.
Do you guys remember your first open world game?
No. I don't think so. I mean,
I don't
maybe
think
WoW.
So. Maybe
does
Baldur's,
that qualify?
Well, Baldur's
Gate.
Wow,
dude, there had to have
world.
Been something way before that, right?
I kind of felt like GTA was my first technically open world.
Sandbox.
Yeah. Or a sandbox.
I played this game on Super NES, I believe, called Tale of the Sun, and there was no point to the game. You could just run around endlessly, and there was nowhere to go. And I was in love. Like, I played it all night long. There is actually a hidden game within the game. You're a caveman, and you're supposed to stack mammoth bones up until you can touch the sun. But it's so weird. It was a weird, weird game, but I remember just loving it, just because I was like, there's
no
rules.
You have freedom to
run. I can run in any direction.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I do like that.
And he would fall asleep randomly. So you'd be running full clip, and he'd just fall asleep, and he'd have to sleep for a while. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome. Good question, though.
Oh, can somebody get links for us? Thank you, if you have time, please.
One more game that wasn't on the five-game. I wanted to bring it up, though. It's called Tooth and Tail. I saw this one being advertised. Looked interesting. I mean, it had this cool picture of a mouse on it. Like it was going to war.
Actually,
so the logo sold you, huh?
I've seen this before.
Google Mike was playing
this. They're plugging it hard. But this is by the same people that made Monaco, which is a game that I really tried to get on board with. I did enjoy it, and I love the art style, but it was just a little too simplistic, so it was hard for me to really... you know, decipher what was going on in the game at times, but I love the colors in it. Just, I don't know. I tried so hard to really like that game and get into it, and I just felt like I never gave it enough time. But Tooth and Tail is apparently their next game. This is Pocket Watch Studios, and it's a strategy RTS action casual. Looks like a turn-based combat type game, except it's all with mice. It's very like Secret of Nim.
I think it's animals. Yeah,
I've seen this. I'm pretty sure I played this at TwitchCon when I went. I think they had a booth, and and I actually got to play a little bit of it.
Like, I could totally see this being not that great, but you know, I'm interested. You know, just from what they're showing me so far. What's interesting is they say this game is excluded from Steam's family sharing service. I've seen that on other games, but I don't know. Like, is that up to the developer? Who decides that?
Yeah, I would imagine. Right. Maybe it's the. The publisher, too, because they're the people who lose the money, right? Well, I guess they both do.
And I retract what I said. I didn't get to play it, but I actually went up to the booth and I asked questions about it.
Oh, cool.
That's what I recall, because I saw it. It looked interesting. Whoever
looks
was
like it has a lot
like
of character.
They were having fun.
Yeah, $20. That seems a little steep, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe at some point I'll check that out. But right now, I'm not buying like any games or even considering anything because Divinity 2 is out. I bought it. I'm playing it.
Is it time?
I'm crazy about that game. Yeah, it's time.
Is it time?
Let's get into it. Divinity 2, it's finally here. It finally happened.
Which, it's really weird that it's been out and available, you know, in beta or early access. But I think everybody in the world were just like us. We're like, nope, we're going to wait till it's done. And then the sales show. They had 75,000 concurrent players the other night, which is huge.
Well, it looks like they peaked at 85,000 according to Steam charts right now.
These guys really, really deserve everything that they get. Because you can, it's one of those things like CD Projekt Red that makes The Witcher. You can just see the passion in the game. It's the production value, the quality is just through the roof. But anyway, you guys have played it a ton. Bobby has played it a ton. And Chi, you just started today.
I just started.
I literally only got to the title screen. Go ahead. You take it
it's
along.
It's interesting because we're all in three different stages of where the game is. With Divinity 2, as much as I wanted to just do my like 24-hour playthroughs, not playthroughs, like what's it called? Marathon of the game. This week was really bad for me. I left on vacation, coming back from vacation, and then working nonstop. Today was literally hours before we are recording was my first impression of the game. I've only put in enough to start playing the game. Past character creation, and Bobby says he's had at least 10 hours. So Bobby, you take the reins so far.
Putting it all on my shoulders. All right.
Well, since I
entertain us, clown.
Honestly, wait, before we move it to Bobby, then I spent a lot of time in character creation. So can I start with just talking about my impressions of character creation then?
All right.
Okay. So with Divinity Original Sin 2. Of course, we talked about all the races and everything else. When I went into character creation, I was actually really impressed by how they set up, how you pick your starting character. With us here, you of course pick your race and you have the choice to pick a preset. But with every preset, you have the option to fine tune every single ability and three additional points in your talents. Mm-hmm. And then it was really nice because if you have a strong understanding, me having played the first Divinity, of what the I want to build my class, it gives you full control of basically getting a I would say a running start,
even though it's a preset.
No, that's the thing. You have these presets, and they're basically there just to influence you. Mm. But then you can undo all the points in every preset and recalibrate it to what you want.
And what did you end up going with?
So I was in between Battle Mage and Enchanter, mm-hmm. and I ended up staying with Enchanter just because I wanted to go. When it comes CC. To Divinity, I like being CC and I like being heals, but then I also don't want to be like a cleric. I don't want to be just simply support. I like being damage and CC all the same. So I went Aerotherge and Hydrophonus, or if that's how you say it, just as I did in the first game.
That's what I play in the first game.
Yeah. Hydrophonics?
Hydrophys.
And then, thank you for the correction, Minnie. And then, and with that too, I went with an origin story character. That was one of the biggest and newest things about this. Instead of just making a custom character, you get to actually choose someone with an origin story. And what it does is that it just opens up what they call tags. You have the option to create tags this time, like whether or not you want to be a jester barbarian or a scholar outlaw. And all races have their fixed,
tags.
Not tags necessarily, but fixed abilities.
Traits.
Traits is the best word to say it. And then you get to choose and select your abilities, your talent points, your, what's the thing with, where you get to like level up two-handed or
skills.
Yeah. Well, and then also tags attributes. Is something different. So tags is basically, it opens up character reactions and dialogue and going with an origin story basically just allows you to experience the story mode through what Larian Studios wanted you to experience through like their storytelling. So instead of having two custom characters, I made the decision to go as Sebel, hopefully I'm saying her name right, the female elf, because I had intentions to go to play a female elf anyway, so I figured I might as well go with the origin story that I'm most attracted to.
So you started with this origin story, Sebel, and then, but that doesn't mean your skills or anything. She could be any class.
Yeah, she could be any class. Okay. You could be a ranger, rogue, anything.
But you are stuck as a female elf.
I believe so, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because she has a particular voice actress, backstory, and quest line. And so, yeah, so with character creation, it's nice. I am playing story mode, and I'm doing local co-op with my boyfriend.
What did he play?
He ended up picking Metamorph. And this is new. Polymorph is brand new in Divinity Original Sin 2. So with Polymorph, he's merging basically the knight class with the ability to polymorph. So he can enrage himself, or he can actually polymorph someone into a chicken. So nice. He's going to be the tank. Right. So like the fighter class.
Well, does he turn into like a werewolf or something?
No, but there's an ability called Bullhorn where he transforms into, it's almost like Battle Charge where you transform into a bull and you charge at the enemy.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm excited. So what did you go? So I'm an enchanter. Max is a metamorph. What about you?
I'm doing four characters on my first playthrough here. So my main character is just your typical warrior build. You know, I've got a lot of points into warfare. You know, there's a lot. It's going to be hard for me to talk about this game because everything that I say about it is going to be in comparison to one. But if anyone's listening that has not played the original Divinity Original Sin, then I highly recommend, you don't need to play that one to play two, but playing one of these games. When this game came out, the first one, like, it was probably my third favorite game of the year, and then as time went by, it slowly became like one of my favorite games of all time. This is a game I'll probably play on and off for the rest of my life. This is just such an incredible series, both one and two, that if you haven't played it, like, you really should.
Emu Killer was talking about, because he's in the military and he plays with a bunch of military dudes, and he was talking about bringing in his military guys that only play first-person shooters and only play like tactical games and stuff, and he brought them into this, and they had never played anything like it, and they had played for like, how many hours, Bobby, did they say? Like 6 hours straight or something?
Yeah, I think the day came out they had played for several hours.
And they
hours.
Said they weren't sure if they liked it, but they had never played anything like it before.
Yeah.
But they still want to stick to it.
It's definitely a game you have to give time to. It's a game that will force you to invest. And it's nice because, like, as I was playing it, immediately I turned on my controller. I prefer to play this game with a controller from the couch. And the first 5 minutes of the game, first 15, 20, 25 minutes of the game, I felt like I was stuck in the very beginning room because I was just reacquainting myself with all of the buttons, with all of the different,
have they changed?
With all of the subtle differences or the bigger differences.
They changed the UI slightly.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, most of it is the same.
The problems that we had in combat, I feel like they addressed that. I haven't had the misclicking problem nearly as much. I think I've only done it maybe once, and it was kind of my fault. But the targeting indicators on this are 10 times better. It is so easy to see. If you use an ability, it's so easy to see in combat if that's going to hit your enemies that you want it to hit and also your allies. It's just 10 times better. The combat in general, they made huge improvements.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the character building, though, I feel like, I hate to use the term dumbed down, but I feel like they simplified it a little bit. There were so many different areas that you could put in points. There were like talents, abilities, traits, skills, like all these things in the original game. And in the second one, they've kind of they focus that down to just a few specific areas. For instance, crafting. You used to have to put points into crafting in the first one. Now, everybody does crafting. It's just a matter of what recipes you learn. So that's not something you actually have to put points into. And then speed in the first game. You could put points into speed, and that would help you move faster. That would help your initiative, so you got to attack sooner in fights. And that would also help how many points you got, how many action points you got when it was your turn. In this one, speed is just gone.
Oh, man.
You can just put points into vitality, and all that does is increase your health pool. But you only get 6 action points maximum. Remember what you and I used to do, Emilio, when we played? Like, when we were having a lot of trouble in combat, we would just turtle up in a corner, let all our action points just stack up until we had max, and then we'd unleash. You can't do that on this one. The combat is much more evened out. You only get maximum 6 action points, and you only get 4 every turn. And as far as I know, and I've Googled it, it really doesn't increase at all. So you have to use those action points during your turn.
And I noticed that too, because when I was cycling through the abilities, making the character, I was reading the info and the abilities, and I was like, what, these only take 1 or 2 action points? Like, maybe 3 was like the most that it required.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it really doesn't matter, because if you up some things, maybe it just reduces how many action points something uses, which you end up with the same thing.
Well, it changes the flow of combat. There's a lot less of stocking up action points, and the combat in a way moves quicker, I feel. So I don't know. It's probably a better move on their part, but it's just an adjustment.
And do you think you'll be able to do that broken ass shit that I'm doing right now? In the first one right now, what I'm doing is casting invisible on myself and then doing my biggest spell on every group of bad guys. And they're like half,
and then just dropping them.
They're all half dead. They're all half dead before we start the fight. I don't know if you can do that in the second one.
Well, they have an armor system in this. So for like all the negatives that I say, like they simplified, like vitality just affects this, and everything's a little more streamlined and simple. And you know, you put point, there's less things to put points into, and they only affect one thing instead of multiple things. Like, it's, even though that's kind of simplified things a little bit, there are some more complicated things in this, like the armor system. There's physical armor and magic armor. And in the first game, it worked like damage reduction. In this game, it's just a shield, basically. Mm-hmm. If you have 50 physical armor, then physical attacks will chip away at that. When your armor gets down to 0, then it starts doing damage to vitality. And so it's like an extra health pool.
In between fights, does it replenish?
Mm-hmm. And you have abilities that will replenish it during the fight.
Okay. So you can heal armor as well.
Yeah, exactly.
God, it sounds like a new game.
Yeah, so the combat's totally different. I love what they've done. Like, this game is awesome. It's everything that I wanted. They definitely evened out the beginning part. You remember in the first one, Cecile, you just run around talking to people forever and ever and doing all that boring stuff. But in this one, you get into the action a lot quicker. And it's not as confusing either. You can't accidentally sell quest items. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of better things about it. What is going on in chat over here?
Yeah, the city has just built a chicken coop. Apparently, that's what we're talking about.
Well, speaking of getting into the action quicker, that was actually the very first thing I managed to do. While I was fucking around with the controls, I managed to make war with my boyfriend. And it took me forever trying to figure out how to make peace with him, just like in game, in real life. No, yeah. But it was really funny because, of course, when you started in the game, you don't have any weapons or anything at all. And did you read up on this? Can we talk about the intro to the story a little bit?
Yeah, but before we do that, I want to bring up what Mini Del Macho is posting in chat.
Okay.
We were talking about armor. You can't be knocked down while you have physical armor up, and you can't be frozen or stunned while you have magic armor up. So that's like a protection against knockdown stuns and electrocuting and stuff.
So obviously you can make that number bigger, right? The armor.
The armor? Rating. Oh, yeah. All the gear you
and
get
adds to your armor. A very good point to that, too, because Emilio earlier asked, can I do this cheapo move where I start the fight with them at half health? If you're using a magic ability and these guys have magic armor, you can't initiate the fight that way. You wouldn't be able to have them be affected by the actual.
I've noticed on the rogue that she does have abilities that penetrate armor, though. They do true damage.
That's cool.
But I don't. That's the only instance of that I've seen so far.
Bobby, am I going to be your divinity buddy this time?
Yeah, we'll start a playthrough and do that. I wanted to have one single player one that I would do. And when we do ours, like I want to make a fully custom character. Like I want to just from the get go, not use any preset.
That's going to happen tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm down. Let's play.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I've been playing this game so much, I haven't even been playing Hots.
I will be playing.
I love it.
Tonight.
I love it.
I'm super excited. I'm actually contemplating whether or not to get my shifts covered the next couple of days.
Don't do it. You need money, G.
I do. I'm spending way too much money lately, taking too much time off.
Well, G, you wanted to get into something. What was that? If you don't remember, I got something else I wanted to
bring up. Please.
Okay.
Please.
All right, we'll come back to it. Bigger than the simplification, another problem that I have, and this might be my biggest complaint, and maybe I'm way off here. Someone else tell me I'm wrong. I feel like the humor is not up to par compared to the first game.
No. Is it because you have a custom character? Maybe not an origin?
Well, here, disclaimer. I don't read a lot of the dialogue. Like, I'll give it a few lines, but then I'm just like, click, click, click. Because these people go on and on and on. And like, come on, man. I don't have the time. So
yeah, my boyfriend's already doing that too.
There is a ton of dialogue. Same with the first one, and it's all well voice acted. But the comedy, like I saw one funny thing. I was sneaking through someone's room, and there was a book, and it was like Old English Mad Libs or something, and it had a funny title. I'm like, oh, that's funny. But like in the first Divinity, the comedy was such a big part. Like
the first people you run into are a one drunk guard and his buddy.
Yeah, did you beat him up?
Trying to like no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just feel like they totally downplayed the humor, and it's got more of a traditional
RPG.
RPG action adventure vibe. But the first one, the thing about the first one was a lot of games are funny, but this game was funny in such a particular way. It was like Cary Elwes in The Princess Bride type of funny.
Oh,
it was
just
like over the top, cheesy, like archetypal hero kind of way. Like my... Other than the cheese vendor, which is fantastic. Like, you can't beat that guy. The original cheese vendor, not the one from the enhanced edition.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
My favorite line is when my guy, the warrior, when Emilio and I are playing, the warrior, when he misses somebody, which isn't often.
Because my enemy dances in shadows.
Oh, I love those tags. That's
his line. Like, and he says it in such a like noble way.
Yeah.
Like that it just cracks me up every single time.
But it was just a big whiff. You can imagine like somebody at like...
Yeah.
Like a baseball player missing.
A good swing and a miss. And then he just yells that out.
The ball dances in shadows. Yeah. Oh, they're so funny.
So, yeah. I fucking love... The comedy in the first one, and then just like that one time when I was playing and they're just like, oh, end of game, and the credits roll, and they're like, wait, no, just kidding, just shit like that. But in Divinity 2, it's totally missing, and it's like, that's not going to make or break the game for me, but it was such a nice touch in the first one.
You know what, and I gotta tip my hat to these guys that they had a solid launch with no problems. I know that's
they did initially day one.
They did. Like when I first load up the game, I think they patched this today or yesterday. When I first loaded up the game, I get an error message that says something about multiplayer support.
Their servers were offline.
I got that today as well when I loaded it up for the first time, but it just powered through it.
Well, I just noticed you can get right past it.
What I'm saying, though, is like everybody's loving this game. I haven't heard a single...
Well, it's not like when Original Sin, the first one, came out, then they come out with the Enhanced Edition, and the Enhanced Edition was just all the rough edges sanded off.
Yeah.
And 2 feels like the Enhanced Edition did. It just comes out of the gate, just fresh... All the rough edges sanded off, just totally playable, totally enjoyable. And then the graphics. I don't know if we mentioned it before. The graphics are like 10 steps above the first one.
So the multiplayer is a little confusing, so let's cover that real quick. It's not really confusing, but this is the way
it goes.
I'm
sure a lot of people have questions about how multiplayer is executed.
This is a hard thing for people to grasp. Like, go ahead and explain it, but I don't know why.
I have a grasp of it.
And explain it without me, because I'm trying not to pee on your leg. I'll be right back.
All right. So if... I want to play with Bobby. Like, let's say tonight, I'm going to start a game, and Bobby's going to be there, and he'll be able to make his character, and then we will play those characters throughout. Now, if Bobby's not around, somebody else could come in and play as Bobby's character, or any of my other two characters that I have. However I get them, whoever they are, if I make them or if I conscript them, it doesn't matter. Whoever's in my party can be controlled by whoever jumps into my game. Right, Bobby? Does that all make sense?
Yeah, so far so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you play a single player game, that stays single player, and I don't believe you can take that character into a multiplayer game. You can never take your character into another person's game.
Yeah.
The only way you get a character in somebody else's game is when you're if you're there for the setup of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, well, you'll be playing
if you characters. Start the game and you guys go through the character creation set,
together,
then you can create your own character, but that character is still on who's ever hosting the game. That's a hard thing for everyone to understand. Like so many games, you play the game, you build up your own character, then you take your character into another game with your friend, and that's not how this works. One person makes a game, they have their characters, and then other people can come in and use those characters. But the characters don't leave. You don't take them out of there. It's like you're playing with your own toy set there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really difficult for a lot of people to understand. But it's like a lot of the old RPGs, even the Final Fantasy games, you know, when you played multiplayer, then they could control certain characters in that. But it's not like the save file is going over to your buddy's computer all of a sudden.
Yeah. And it is what it is. I mean, if you have somebody that you're going to go on this 100-hour journey with, they should be there at the beginning, and then they'll be able to make their character, and everything's going to be fine. But, you know, if somebody wants to control one of your characters and so you guys can hang out for a while, that's cool too. But, it's important that the person that you're going to play with commits to this completely at the beginning and throughout. Because, you know, these are super long games.
I mean, and the thing is, though, you could even, if they're not around, you just play the game and you control all four of the characters. Yeah. And then when they have time, they can hop back in and pick up wherever you guys happen to be at. And what's nice is they have four-player co-op, which in the first one, that required a patch.
Mod.
Mod, yeah.
Yeah. And then what is the other thing? Oh, but, like, obviously, if us two, or all four of us, including Max, made a game, we're never going to get through that game. Everybody knows it. There's no way you can get four people together
To commit that time.
To commit that much time. But there is that dungeon, what is it called? Master mode, or whatever it is, where somebody makes a game master. So somebody just makes a dungeon for us. And we'll play through that.
Yeah, that's
like we might even have like a thing where like we do a DL gaming, make a dungeon that we can't get through, and then we try to get through it and then talk about it. Like we could totally do things like that.
And then like I know you guys are saying, you know, not being able to carry your own character into somebody else's game, you know, that's poopy. I understand that. But there are upsides to it because it allows you to, honestly, I would never ever go outside of a role that I'm comfortable with. I like being the mage class. That's all I really understand. That's why I'm re-rolling almost the exact same damn class just to see the subtle differences in the second game. But if you're hopping into somebody's game and, well, I guess, you know, we play the classes that we recruit, but if you join up in somebody else's class, game, you'll play the classes that they like to play with and maybe play fight the battles underneath their strategy and their tactics. And that makes it interesting. That's experiencing the game in a different way. And combat is what sold me on this game more than anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's a nice to be able to, you know, just change it up a little, I guess, and really kind of feel yourself in a different role. And being a supporting character in somebody's main story and can be so much fun in itself, too.
I haven't played it yet, but just based on what everybody have said, I'm glad that there's a contender that's going to contend with PUBG for the game of the year, and it's not a foregone conclusion. Like, because up until right now, it was a clear victory for PUBG for me. So it'll be interesting at the end of the year to see what's going on.
Yeah. Well, in closing on this game, you know, if you've not played one of these Divinity games, either one or two, like, and you just don't understand what the big deal is, like, this game just gives you so much freedom to do whatever you want. There's a million solutions to every problem. It's just, I compared it to WoW a few times, and that's kind of a weird comparison. I mean, one's an MMO, one's a single player RPG, or, you know, multiplayer RPG, but it's just, you rarely play a game that doesn't like force you or funnel you into the right direction, that just says, hey, here's everything, and, you know, do it however you see fit. Like, it's just the replayability on this is just incredible. I'm 10 hours into this game, maybe more. I already want to start another playthrough, and it doesn't even bother me. I'm going to be doing the same content again because I can do a different type of character. I can go about the quests in different ways, in different orders, with different solutions. Like, it's just a fantastic game.
And I'm really excited about playing more of this game and giving you guys more, like, you know, experience and authentic review from me. As I mentioned, I'm only at the tip of the iceberg. I can't wait for this podcast to end just so I could go home and play it.
Buckle in, because it's going to be a long month of Divinity.
It's funny because you know how, like, since PUBG's come out, we've had our PUBG stories, like, of the week. I feel like with Divinity, it's going to be almost the same element. Yeah. Like, oh, I uncovered this
there's so much in the game
that's, like, new.
You don't understand it.
It's like, when you did this, how did you take, you know, handle this? And, like, how we can compare our experiences. It's I'm really excited. So we all just have to catch up with one another and go from there.
Compare notes next week.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, cool. That's how it went with the first one. We finally discovered it.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Divinity 2.
Play it.
Absolutely great game.
Buy it, play it, love it.
Let me tell you what's not a great game, though.
Get him, Bob.
I wanted to bring this up a few weeks ago when I first played ESL, because this was another card game I had played called Animation Throwdown, The Quest for Cards. I was opening up Steam for whatever reason, and I just happened to see on the front page a game that had Bender, had characters from Family Guy, Futurama, had Roger from American Dad, all these cartoons that I watch. I watch a lot of cartoons. I know it's weird. But I saw this, and I'm just like, I'm on board. I want to check out this game. You know, it looks like a cash grab, but whatever. I'm going to check it out. And I played this game, like, for a solid 45 minutes, I'd say, just in complete denial that this was just an absolute shit game, like, like total mobile status type game.
Well, it's a mobile game.
Yeah, that's what I found out later. It was converted from mobile. But I tried so hard. Like, I went in understanding that, and I was just like, well, there's got to be some redeeming quality. There really isn't. This game is so bad, it's like War. You know the card game War, where you have a deck of cards, and you and your buddy flip a card, and whoever has the highest one wins, and that's the extent of the mechanics of that game?
I got to disagree with you. So Chad, who's the card game master of us, he actually liked this game, and he says that that's how you feel at the beginning, but there's actually a lot of depth.
Are we talking about War, or are we talking about Animation Throwdown?
We would be talking about Animation Throwdown. He says there's a lot of depth with the different, elements that each card, and there's a lot of synergies, and you have to, like, work towards that. He said that it feels simple at the beginning, but there's actually true depth there.
Okay. Well, they lost me in the first 45 minutes. They ruined all goodwill they had. I signed up for an account because you got, like, a few extra, like, coins, and everything is, like, such a cash grab. It's like you have to put things in, like, a generator, and then that generates a combination of cards, and it takes, like, 10 hours to do that, but then you can pay to speed up that process. You know, your typical mobile game.
So how much did you spend?
I didn't spend any money. I just played the free one, and then I eventually gave up. But here's the interesting thing about this. This game, like, I signed up for that account on this website just to get, like, some free coins or whatever. And I thought that my progress would be saved, and I can go to another computer, load up the game, and sign into my account, and it'd still be there. That didn't happen. Not only that, but I have noticed we are now receiving spam on our website Congregate with a K, which is the website that I signed up for this account with. So,
wow.
Yeah, not only did it not do what I wanted it to do, and that is, like, hold my data, you know, like, make it like cloud storage so I could use it anywhere. But now they are actually spamming our web. They've, with my email address, have linked that to our dlgaming.net website, and they're trying to post spam on our various posts.
Oh no, that's very unfortunate.
It's so shady. So yeah, terrible game. Don't play it. And it's just so funny to me that I spent 45 minutes. Has that ever happened to you where you see a game and you just like how it looks, or you like the theme so much that you just don't want to admit it's a horrible game?
That's definitely happened.
Yeah, it's happened.
I can't think of which one, but yeah, that's definitely happened. I've been playing a lot of ESL on the phone. Chi, did you keep playing it? Or
no, very little time for gaming, but at least I got a little bit of Divinity in before.
Even more evidence that girls don't poop, that she doesn't play on her mobile phone. But was I going to say about it? I love the solo. I've talked about this before, but for phone, it's so great. You play the solo arena, and you can just leave anytime. You know, like if you play a real person, you're committed, and if you leave, you lose. But you know, I spend a lot of my work is being in line. And so I play, but then if it's my turn, it's my turn, so I can just go. It's like the only card game online that you can have a good time and just leave in the middle of a... And then you can
and
come back.
And it doesn't hurt you at all?
Not at all. If you're playing...
It pauses it.
Yeah,
it's
for a solo
like
arena, yeah.
The game.
Exactly. So you can come back and you'll be right in the middle of the move that you were in the middle of.
Okay,
it's
that's
awesome.
Good.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Really good.
Hearthstone does not do that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Does someone else want to go, or should I tell another story?
Yeah, I got a few things up there. So,
All right.
Thank you, Successor, for buying me. No, actually, fuck you, Successor, for buying me Fidget Spinner Simulator.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Holy goddamn hell. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible game. It might be the worst game I have ever played, ever. It's not even a game. Well, it says simulator, so I guess some sort of simulation. But this game can go and just fuck right off. It basically, I don't care if it's 7 out of 10. Those are obviously troll reviews. So you're on one of those, what do you call that thing, Bobby, that you roll around on? The two wheels? It's like a skateboard sideways?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They were exploding for a while?
Yeah.
Oh, those
hoverboard. Hoverboard.
So you have a hoverboard in one hand. I don't know why he doesn't have it here in this video that we're watching, but he's vaping as well. His left hand is for vaping. His right hand is a fidget spinner, and he's on one of the things. So he's obviously like super douchey dude. And then you roll around, and this is it. This is pretty much it. You just roll around the forest, and you fall down. And they know that you're going to fall down, but they didn't want to code against you falling down and not being able to get up. So they put a button where you just push R, and it resets you to your standing position. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. It looks like there's multiplayer in this. Is this correct?
Yeah, but there's nobody playing.
This is ridiculous.
Nobody was playing.
This is horrible.
Fucking
this is like,
awful.
It's like all the worst things about being a millennial in one video game.
The game costs a dollar. They have a $50 DLC called Premium Member.
What do you get with that? Can we see?
I'm going to try to look it up, but I do want to mention it is tagged for sexual content. Is there sexual content?
I never saw it. So maybe I haven't played enough. Yeah.
Keep your fidget spinner hands strong.
Okay, so for the $50 premium DLC, unlocks premium member achievement, gives premium gold-plated fidget spinner and gold-plated vape.
There
so
you go.
You get two skins for your fidget spinner and your vape, and
you also
get an achievement.
The ultimate douchebag award.
The whole game is douchey, and they're doing it on purpose. Like, I get it.
Yeah,
I get what they're doing, but that's no excuse for making something.
Yeah,
so horrendously bad.
This is a PL Gaming public service announcement. You know, play games, not memes, people.
Yes. Thank you.
What's sad is there's a person on my friends list who owns this $50 DLC here.
Oh, my God.
I think that person's on my friends list,
too. He's from Romania.
Oh. Well, he already has gold-plated everything, so.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think it's real gold-plating, though.
That's scary. All right. Yeah. Horrible. Horrible game.
Horrible game.
Can you at least parkour with the hoverboard, or is that going to be in the next patch?
The character animation from the video that we saw, the guy was just standing still, just locked in place, like no movement whatsoever.
Tiger Team, I played that game. It's not really a game. We covered it last week. It's basically somebody threw together what Half-Life 2 Episode 3 was supposed to be. The main writer put it out there. And these people turned it into like a very short experience. It was just very, very weird. I had no idea what was going on, basically, the entire time.
Did you read the story before playing the game?
I didn't, no.
Okay.
I thought that I would get that through this, so I think I have to read that to give this context, but I'm pretty much over it. I don't remember anything from Half-Life 2, really, except for it ended with the brain bugs. Half-Life 2 Episode 2 ended with those brain slugs or whatever, and that was in here. It's kind of like... if you remember at a certain point, I think at the end of Half-Life 2, time stops, Gray Man comes out, and you just kind of like warp through different dimensions as he talks to you.
Not Gray Man, G-Man.
G-Man.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a continuation of that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like just an acid trip. You go on this entire team, they're talking to you. And what was interesting was like G-Man and all the characters were voiced by the regular voice people in this. So I feel like they were playing clips from the old games. So anyway, I can't recommend it. It did not bring any light to the situation. Yeah. I might have to read the thing if I really care, but I don't even know if I care at this point.
A lot of people went back and played Half-Life 2 and Episode 1 and 2. They'd realized that there really wasn't a whole lot to the story. I mean, our standards for video games were pretty low back then, so it didn't take much to impress us. I mean, not to say they weren't great games.
But I didn't play those games for the story.
Yeah.
That was the last thing that I played those games for. I played for the gameplay, and they always had a cool new mechanic, that genre-defying mechanic, that gravity gun was
amazing.
The second
one had the particle gun and like the ragdoll effects. Like, yeah. That shit was insane.
But you can't deny that the story really helped piece everything together. Like, you weren't just going through the obstacles of learning these new mechanics. It really added to the purpose of like just feeling like you're going through a really good single-player game. Because there are shitty single-player games with great mechanics, but then there's just no cohesion to any of it. So
the gameplay and the story do go along really well together. But I was never.
Are we talking about like Half-Life still? Are we talking about Tiger Team?
Okay. Half-Life 2.
Okay.
I just never really knew what was going on in Half-Life 2.
There's a lot of mystery, and I think that's the appeal to it.
We got a typical J.J. Abrams situation going on here, where it's all about the mystery, and the thing that is so exciting to us is eventually we will get the answers and find out what the hell is going on, but the whole thing hinges, the whole crux of it is you're not supposed to know what's going on, otherwise it would ruin the mystery.
Bobby, today's a very good day to start Divinity 2 together because I feel like we're super simpatico today. I thought of 8KC at the bat right before you said it, and then I was about to mention what you just said right before you said it.
Yep.
So there we go.
I was one step ahead of you.
Yep. Well, I'm starting to get drunk, so it's working.
All right. Well, soon to be two steps then. So you've been playing RimWorld.
I have not been. I can't legit say that I've played it, but I played it enough to know that it's not for me. It just felt like a lot of work. It's all it's literally micromanaging down to the very, very core. I was kind of excited to see what would happen to my three little dudes as I tell them exactly what to build, exactly what materials to get from what area. But I knew that one of them was going to trip and hit his head on something, and it was going to be something that I didn't foresee, and I would have to start a new playthrough and rinse and repeat 50 times before I get it right. And I just don't have the time, and I can see how if you have a lot of time, this would be good for you. But
I am surprised that you were able to play all these other games and only make it to the title screen of Divinity 2.
Divinity 2 came out on Thursday, though. So,
but not just that. I was 100% sure that I wanted to finish the first one before.
Oh.
So I wasn't going to buy it. And then I was like 2 hours before the podcast, I was like, oh, shit, I should at least look at it. So, yeah. But Bobby and I are on the, in quote, air quotes here, last level of Divinity 1.
Yeah.
So right there. It shouldn't be too much longer.
Like, if I could put myself in your shoes, well, me actually knowing the ending of the first Divinity, I wouldn't say it was lackluster, but difficulty-wise, it was.
You're so powerful towards the end.
Considering like where you guys are, like if you transitioned over to Divinity 2, I honestly would say you're not missing out on much.
There must be a big difference between the enhanced edition and the original edition, because I feel like I did so much more. I was like level 22 with my characters on my first playthrough. And then in the enhanced edition, we're like level 18 or something. And we are right at the door of the Source Temple. We are about to enter the Source Temple, which is kind of the grand finale.
Story. Hey, Minnie, what do you think? How much longer? Once we're literally about to walk into the Source Temple. How long do you think that we have, hour wise? As we wait for that, Bobby, what do you got?
And then I don't know if this is a spoiler alert, and I don't know how the original Sin stories are affected by our like playthrough. And I know this isn't going to happen to you guys, but what I remember from the ending of my game is that they basically said my heroes, like Max and I, got married and we got a house and had lots of babies. At least that's the impression that I got from my ending. So, and I doubt
that's... Spoilers. I'm like, we're literally about to do it tonight. The fuck? Wow.
Yeah, but I doubt that's going to happen between your playthroughs.
Well, so Minnie says that we're going to be there in 1 hour. So, I mean, we can do it in 1 hour.
Yeah,
so.
See, that's not really the ending. That's not the spoiler. It's just like one of those, it's like, it goes off on a small little tangent.
I feel spoiled. Not in a good way. Bobby, I want to hear, this is an exciting little
it
thing.
Sounds more exciting. In the show notes I have Heroes of the Storm and in quotations playing with the pros. But not on purpose. It's not like I've made friends with any competitive Heroes of the Storm players. I've just been running into them a lot playing Heroes of the Storm. In games, just randomly popping up.
How do you fare against them?
In an actual draft, it doesn't go well. We get out macroed hardcore.
Out macroed?
Yeah, out macroed. So not like their mechanical skills during team fights are that much better than us, but just like when we go to do one thing, they're on the other side of the map doing something else. They just they outplay us in a
their more, strategy.
Yeah, in a strategical sense.
Gotcha.
So it's always fun to play against them. You know, you get excited and you're just like, oh, are we going to do well? But the one instance I want to talk about was during a quick match game, and I saw Bakery, who is the team captain of Dignitas, on his U.S. account, and he was playing with Dreadnought, who is one of the biggest casters for the HGC. Real big. He used to be the team captain and healer for Tempo Storm years ago. Now he's just a big figurehead in the scene, and he casts a lot of the competitive games. But they were teamed up. They're on the other side. So I was like, oh, shit.
That's really cool.
This isn't going to be fun. But we just had the better comp for the map, so we kind of won. Not easily. Like, we tried really hard and we did really well, but we definitely had an advantage.
Who were you with? Were you with trusted friends?
No. I was just...
So not only did you play with the pros, but you beat the pros.
I beat them. And
that's very impressive.
And not only that, I played Zagara. That's all I've been doing is just spamming the same hero.
What is that hero?
Zagara just pushes lanes really hard, and she's easy to gank if you rotate on her, but she pushes really hard, and the idea with her is a lot of times you just want to go where the enemy isn't and just push down lanes, and when they come to get you, you just
run
escape
away
before they can... Yeah, exactly. You're a little bitch, basically.
Yeah.
You play that game. You rat, as they say.
Yeah.
And so I was playing this character, and I was doing really well, you know, doing what I was supposed to be doing, and Bakery was on Sergeant Hammer, who is... like an assassin type character. And at the end of the game, they knew they were going to lose, and we were coring, and I had very low health.
Coring.
So we were just going for the core, just trying to knock down the core, just suicide on it.
Oh.
So, yikes. Chat just posted something gnarly. But anyway, so we're going for the core. I'm about to die. Bakery on Hammer sees this, and he's just like, ah, we're going to lose. I'm just going to kill this guy. So he's chasing me, and I'm running for my life. And I'm trying not to die because I've been doing so well the entire game. I know if I don't die, I'm going to get MVP. And, you know, what's better than beating the pros? Well, getting MVP and beating the pros. So he chases me. Then he kicks in his thrusters. He's going to catch me. I know I'm going to die. And then he launches the ultimate, which is the napalm strike. And right before the missile hits me, like right before it hits me, the core goes down, the game ends.
Oh,
that's MVP. Awesome.
Boom.
There you go.
So put me in, coach. I'm ready.
Love it.
I'm ready for the big leagues.
Bobby, were you there when I beat Zapman in Smite?
Yeah.
So he wasn't the best player in the world that month, but he got it the month after. But I went head-to-head against... Now, I am definitely not a better player. At all. Obviously, he's way, several levels above me. But we faced off three times because we were both going middle lane. Mm-hmm. And of those three times, I won two of them. And that's my claim to fame. Just like one-on-one. He was playing super, super aggressive. I've seen him play. I knew he was going to be aggressive because I watched his streams. So I kind of used that against him. And goddamn was I floating on clouds for fucking... I'd be fucking sad, man. Like, I was so stoked.
Yeah.
I try not to let it get too much to my head because I know, first of all, Heroes of the Storm is very team-oriented. If you take a competitive player and just put them on a random team with no comms. It's just like, it is very hard for them to carry a game solo. And second, they are not given 100%, especially in quick match. Like, I can tell, like, when I played some other competitive players from a team called Lag Force, I could totally tell they were just kind of fucking around, and they often do overextend in these types of games, just testing the limits. They don't do it in an actual competitive game. They respect their opponents. They're not going to take any unnecessary chances, but in a lot of other games, if you run into them, they're going to be pushing the envelope and seeing what they can get away with.
Maybe that's why they were there in the first place, just to like test whatever out.
Well, yeah, I mean, they play constantly. They're pros. They're competitive players. But, yeah, a lot of times they're a little more aggressive than they ought to be just to, you know, test the limits of whatever hero they're practicing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And, you know, after that, Divinity came out, and then I didn't play any more HOTS for, like, 3 or 4 days. It's weird.
It's not a weird thing. It'd be more weird to me if you're, like hooked on to HOTS.
If I bought a $45 game and just kept playing HOTS, I've done that before.
But for this is hands down my most anticipated game of this year. And I'm just more upset at myself that I haven't played more of it, but I just know it's coming. Like, the wave is just starting to build with this one for me.
Well, I had this conversation with Fastidious when we were playing. He didn't want to purchase the game because he didn't think he'd play it right now. And that's totally okay. When the first Divinity game came out, I did not play it until 6 months, maybe more, after the game initially released. Then I got on board. Then I'm like, wow, this is amazing. You know, you don't have to play this game day one, especially if you're in the midst of some other game. Like, if you're in the middle of like a WoW addiction or something, yeah, obviously don't pick this game up.
But
wait till you need something to do.
But hey, I would recommend it only because your experiences are current and relevant for, well, you know, comparing experiences with friends. And then with multiplayer, you want to play while your friends are still playing too. And we all know generally when a game is first officially launched like this, people are more inclined to jump in a game with you or be open to multiplayer. And that's a part of the game that you do want to experience. I love this game I've only experienced this game through co-op. And I think it would be so much fun to play with somebody who I know would love this game just as much, but go in their game and see how they really handle playing the game and everything
but
else.
This game, to me, is just more of a single-player experience, and then like maybe a friend or two will jump into a game.
Poor Emilio. No wonder why he's like, are you going to play with me? Are we going to do this?
No, I'm just saying, like, I understand what you're saying. Like, playing a game on release day is great if it's like a community-based game and like the player base needs to be there and like everyone's talking about it. But this is way more of a personal experience for me. Divinity.
Yeah, it is definitely just storytelling, and it's
so I should just fuck right off, Bobby. Is that what
I'm not saying? I'm saying close-knit group of people. I'm saying me and like a couple of friends. I'm not saying like I don't feel like I need to be on the same wave.
Right.
It depends.
This is not Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones or like Destiny. Like when everyone's over the Destiny thing and like that game's gone away, no one's going to want to play it. Or like Titanfall, you know, those games need a community. This game does not need a community. It needs you and maybe like one or two of your buddies.
How long has it been since the first game came out?
Divinity Original Sin? Yeah. 2014, I think.
Originally. And we're still playing it.
Yeah.
So
it's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. So I already covered that. Bobby, do you want to say, do you have any comments on Streets of Rogue?
So we played Streets of Rogue. The first time we played it, level 4 is where it ended, right?
Level 3.
Oh, level 3.
Added level 4, I think.
And what happens at the end of level 3 is very jarring. You reach the end of the level, you walk into the portal, think you're going to zap to the next level, and instead you just explode. You just die for no reason. And at first, that's really alarming because you're like, I've made it so far, I have all these characters, what the hell killed me? And they got me the first time. And then lo and behold, the second time when new content's out, they got more levels, we play it, and now there's only 4 levels. So we reach the end of the 4th level, and they got me again. I jump into the portal, I'm like, all right, let's go, and then my character splats. I'm like,
and it was funny. It was even worse for me because it splatted me when you went through, and I wasn't near you. So I was like talking to some dude about fucking buying some drugs and shit, and I fucking exploded.
And you know, that's just how some people go.
That's how some people go. They just explode.
But I was really hoping for more content, like only one other level. I mean, each level has like, what, three or four stages. But I will say this, the new level that they added is fucking great. It's like what, ghost graveyard thing? What's the theme there?
Well, a lot of cannibals. It's the park. It's called the park.
Oh, the park.
And it's full of cannibals, vampires, and gorillas.
Minefields. There's mines.
Yeah, mines. Oh, and military bases.
Yeah. It does something new. It brings something that the other levels didn't do. So, yep. I don't know. They just need like five more of these levels, and they got a game there. And they're coming out slowly, but, you know, it's happening.
This is another one guy developing game, so... Yeah. You know, you gotta give him some credit. But did you have a good time?
Stardew.
I did. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
What did we end up? Because we tried maybe 5-6 attempts, and it ended up being. Were you the soldier?
Yeah, and I really wish I could get away from that. The soldier's just so easy. You run around and you murder everyone with guns. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
I wish they made him a little more...
What was I playing?
I think they need to nerf him.
Do you remember?
You were playing the gorilla on the first playthrough, and I can't remember what. When I was playing the soldier, you were playing... Soldier-Doctor, we've done a lot.
Yeah.
That's a strong combo.
I don't know. Anyway... the big PUBG update. Chi, are you even playing PUBG anymore?
No, I need to get back into playing video games. And honestly, I had a conversation with somebody. I get a lot of people who ask me, hey, what games are you playing now? And I'm like, and they're like, are you still playing that one? Are you still playing PUBG? And my answer is no, not until I get my Divinity fixed through. I am gone, guys. Like, I am gone from the multiplayer scene for a while. And to be honest, I thought I was going to get back into streaming, but I am playing from the couch right now. And I look really, I don't know, like my real gamer face is on, which is really derpy. Like one eye is like I actually have uneven eyes. And so one of my eyes is going to be like, not even just,
I hadn't noticed, but now that's all I can see.
Especially since I have a sty. No. But anyways, so I'm not sure. I'm going to disappear when Divinity 2 comes out. Not comes out. Like, as I'm playing Divinity 2.
Bobby, I know that you're turning that into PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
And I know I'm not playing PlayerUnknown's, but I have been watching PlayerUnknown's streams. So that's how I...
They're so entertaining.
I'm vicariously experiencing the game, so I've been able to look at some of the newer changes and patches and whatnot.
So what this patch put in, anyway, Bobby, I was going to say that I think tag-wise, I think PUBG probably gets more than that written out. But anyway, so they added foggy weather, which is a low probability of happening, just like rain. It might be 1 in 20 games or so. And it is creepy. It's creepy as fuck. probably 4 or 5 bushes I zoomed in on thinking they were people. Because it's so, the outlines of things are, it's almost like everything's wearing camouflage now, you know, and you feel so much more alone than you did before. And it's just gray and bleak, and then you're dead.
Oh, man. I think fog would be really frustrating for me. I actually kind of like the rain element because it mutes
the sound.
Sounds. And I'm a very heavy sound player. And I know if somebody else is struggling with like what they can hear, then I, you know, it's like it'll make me become a little bit more alert or give me the up and up. Yeah. I work with rain really well. But with fog, vision is where I kind of lack.
Yeah.
And I'm already looking at bushes like they're people.
Yeah.
If fog makes that so much worse. I'm going to be shooting at nothing, giving away
so
my position.
And this is for vision what rain is for sound.
Yeah.
Exactly what that is. And it doesn't sound like a huge thing, but it's a huge thing. They added a new city. Up by Stalber. So nobody ever goes to Stalber because it's shit.
Uh-huh.
And then now there's a city behind Stalber that has guaranteed, like, well, not guaranteed, but high probability of level 3 weapons. It's just a random town. So think of like one of the smaller towns, but with good loot.
And they're coming out with a brand new map, or has that come out?
They're not. I just read the whole patch today, and they're talking more about the vaulting and the climbing, that's going to come before November. And that's what they're focused on right now, not the new map yet. So, okay. And then there's a new sniper rifle. It uses 7.62 round. It's called the Mini 14, I believe it's called. It's like the SKS, but I believe it does a little more damage, but it has a little more recoil. I watched a couple of streamers use it to great effect, just fucking rip people up. And it's got those, somebody's going to fucking hate me for this, but the rifle, the little things that go down when you go prone, that, you know what I'm talking about? They hold up the rifle barrel. It's like a little
tripod.
Yeah, it's like a tripod.
It's a little kickstand.
Yeah, a little kickstand. Yeah. So it has that, but it only goes into effect when you go prone. So, and then it reduces the recoil significantly. But it's a super, super strong sniper rifle. Not the strongest in the game, but it only comes out of the crates. Bipod, I guess it's called. And
that was a basic B answer. And, you know, tripod, and like it's a camera.
Yeah.
And then I saw a really funny YouTube video where it's like a basic B's favorite music genre is top 40, and that's I'm on that level too. So forgive my answer sometimes.
I don't get it.
You don't get it.
No.
Top 40 is not a genre.
Oh, right.
But it's like my favorite music genre is top 40.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Yeah. I do have some very basic B responses. So.
And they're fucking killing it. They're still number one, and they beat Dota 2's all-time record for concurrent players. So I've said it for a while now, the new king in town. It's a great game.
Yep. What a time to be alive. All right. So I think we're ready to get into the news as Emilio knocks his mic over.
Did not. Caught it.
It didn't hit the floor. Caught that just in time. Listeners are almost in for a treat there. All right. I guess we'll start off with this one. So a game that we have been playing a pretty good amount. We gave away a copy of it a week or two ago. Hyper Universe. Apparently, the developers are going to release a censored version in Korea because of some complaints about it.
About the over-sexuality of the, giant bouncy titties?
Yeah.
Is there something about it? I guess it is a tits thing.
That is exactly what it is addressing. And if you look at the before and after pictures, I think I have some here.
They did this with Tracer. It's like the Tracer booty thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But I kind of see I could see how some people would have some complaints about this because the boobs in this game are ridiculous.
Like Dead or Alive. They're bigger than Dead or Alive titties.
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture right now before and after. They barely, like, they kind of toned it down a little bit, but really not that much. I mean, I guess it goes from, like, ridiculous, like, lamppost with watermelons taped to it, to, like, okay, that's physically possible, but I don't know. Like, when it comes to censorship, I'm just kind of like, yeah, whatever, who cares, but... Okay, here's some before and afters for you, Emilio. What do you think? Hyper Universe getting censored.
Hyper Universe titties.
So are they covering up the boobs to get it back in there?
It's like going from triple F to maybe, triple D.
Yeah.
And
it's not even that they're smaller. They're just more covered up in the censored version.
No, they are definitely smaller. It's just that the girls in the Korean version, this is how I would put it. The girls in the Korean version are wearing t-shirts their size versus, I know big breasted women who wear the right size t-shirt, but then their boobs are so big that it turns it into an extra small out of nowhere, at least only in their chest area. So, I feel like if I could give an impression of what the Korean censorship version looks like, the girls are wearing the right size shirts compared to like what, the original version where the shirt might fit, but the tits just don't.
The real interesting thing about this game and the tits and all that is it didn't need it. Like Dead or Alive was not a very good game and the tits kind of carried it, and that's why it sold a bunch of copies. This is a pretty good game. It would have been fine with no giant titties, but it's distracting.
to say the least. All right.
How are you, like, this is how comfortable Emilio and I are. Like, straight up.
Her toe is almost
my
in my
thumb
butt.
Is probably, like, my toe thumb, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Is like almost in your crack. And I didn't even realize it until you, like.
And you're wiggling it, which, straight up, like, I'm starting to lean towards now. That's fantastic.
Man. That's hilarious. It's
tremendous.
All, it's all the titty talk.
Tremendous, like, toe work, G.
Yeah, it's making my toes.
I'll take phrases I never, like, thought I'd say for a thousand, Alex. Tremendous toe work, G.
All right, and we're moving on.
Titty just got toed.
Twitch.
I just got toed.
All right. All right, next order of business here, or piece of news. This is very interesting, at least to me. It has to do with Heroes of the Storm, but I think it applies to all of us. So on the subreddit for HOTS, there was a video of someone's stream where they were playing with a competitive player from the European scene, and he was typing out a lot of really aggressive things in chat, and he was inting, which is intentionally feeding. I learned that last week.
Inting?
Inting, yeah. Okay. Inting is like you're intentionally dying or intentionally feeding. And he used his ult just in the middle of nowhere, blamed his team, you know, just getting real salty on stream. And it was caught live, and someone posted and was like, you know, is this really appropriate for someone who is pretty much on Blizzard's payroll and who's supposed to be representing the community? And in a couple of, you know, Blizzard immediately posted, said, we're looking into this. And then like a day or two later, they said, this guy's going to be banned from pro play for a week. And this is a very big week for a lot of teams, including this one, because it's the last week before they determine who goes to BlizzCon and also who goes to the Crucible, which is where teams have to fight to actually stay in the HGC. And this team was one of those ones at risk of going to the Crucible. They had a sub player, and they did lose their game. And not only was this guy that got banned for a week, their tank player, which is a very important role, he was also their shot caller. So this was like a severe handicap.
Well,
this is unfortunate because it wasn't in a pro game that he was being toxic. This was in a random match, was it?
Yeah,
it's unfortunately that it was live streamed, but it's like that's kind of the nature of just what MOBA and like toxic gamers are. It's a part of, like, I feel like that it's not like he's a bad that is obviously a bad representation of the community, but that is an essence of the community nonetheless.
But like, should it be? I mean, is that we're just going to shrug it off? Just like, hey, online games.
I think what they did, it was appropriate banning him, and it did hurt the team. But at the same time, it's like, this is like, I mean, look at football players, for crying out loud. You know, like, you can beat up your wife in public and still get paid the amount that you are. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I'm not bracing his behavior, but at the same time, it's like, this is him on his off time, and it's not as bad.
You're not on off time when you're streaming. Streaming is not off.
He wasn't streaming. Someone else was streaming.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously
gotcha.
Knew that it was being streamed.
So this is like behind the scenes, basically.
Well, the guy streaming was like one of the biggest HOT streamers. So it's like, of course, you know, people are going to see this. He knew he was being watched.
Okay.
But, you know, it just called. I mean, Blizzard, first of all, had a right to do this because it's a violation of the contract that he signed. It was in the contract. You know, these guys are supposed to be. I don't know what the exact words were, but
representatives of the company, right?
You're a representative of the community.
And, I guess that's true.
You know, this happens with, you know, sports players as well, but a lot of times it's like on the field, if they do something, they get fined. I always wonder, like, is the fine really a big deal, or is that just like chump change to them? I never know, because they get paid so much money.
It's got to be chump change.
Successor has a good point, though. Football players do get suspended for domestic violence.
Which is why I do feel like it is appropriate that he got banned for the 1 week thing, but it's completely on a different scale than domestic violence.
Oh yeah, obviously.
This is just him throwing a game and being toxic in the community. But yeah, I understand he's on contract. But is it so wrong that he can have these bad days, these bad games, these bad moments?
Gee, apparently you have a sexy voice.
This guy has a history. I should probably tell you that this guy has a history of being like this. It was no surprise to anyone that this particular player was doing this in a game. So, I mean, he has a history of doing it, but I don't know. I can kind of see the argument against it, but there's not a lot of people that are taking a side on this one. And Europe is known, at least in Heroes of the Storm, Europe is known for having some of the most toxic players. Now, they are the currently the best region in the world right now, like with the top performing teams, but they're also known for being extremely toxic.
So you heard it here first, folks. Toxicity breeds excellence.
Yep, apparently. Yep.
There it is. After the next update, Battleborn will no longer be receiving any content. There's going to be a small team basically just babysitting it, but that's it. You got a dead game there, guys. I don't know what to say about this. It was weird from the beginning. It was weird. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody knew what it wanted to do, and now we don't know where it's going.
And I don't know what you just said. But I will say this about Battleborn, like, or about dead games, quote unquote. Super Monday Night Combat, 5 or 6 years ago, probably 6 years ago, I played that game and I was like, this game is dead. There's only 700 people playing it. Not enough. Like, people are leaving matches. It's just not a good experience. And then I eventually left. And then I came back 5 years later and was like, I wonder where this game's at. I loaded up, 700 people still playing it. So even though it doesn't have a large player base,
They have 700 bots playing at all times.
Maybe. I don't know. It tells you in Super Monday Night Combat when you log in how many people are currently online. Like, it's just a general chat that they come in. But my point is, like, it takes a lot to kill a game. Like, people say dead game. Like, we have this notion. I think I'm kind of influenced by what Evan Lotti said on the last PC Gamer podcast. He put it so well about how they're, like, PC gaming is like a popularity contest right now. Like, if a game doesn't have like 50,000 people playing it, then it's a dead game and like nobody should be playing it. Like, it's okay if there's not a huge player base. There's still a lot of people who really like Battleborn and are going to continue to play it. So I don't know if it's fair to say, like, you know, this game is absolutely gone and dead.
Well, I guess what I meant by dead was there's going to be no new life into it. You know, they're not.
Yeah, they aren't going to have any updates or DLC or anything like that. But people will continue to play it, though.
Maybe if enough people write in, like Family Guy, bring him back from the dead. I don't know.
I think they already tried that. Didn't they have that big event for Battleborn?
Yeah, I guess so. It.
Yeah.
So PewDiePie. I actually watched it, the uncensored version of this. He was playing PUBG and he called somebody the N-word on stream, and you could see right away he knew that there was a slip up. People are all over him about this. I personally forgive him big time. Like, you're producing thousands of hours of content and you're just trying to be funny the entire time, and you have, you know, just a misfire of a synaptic misfire at the same time, maybe a little bit of, you know, self-sabotage that we are all prone to do from time to time. And you get something like this, you know, it's just a brain fart or whatever. From it, the developers of Firewatch, Campo Santo, tried to deny him access to their games retroactively, so basically pull down everything.
Yeah, any content he made on the games, they tried to...
Right, that also puts his entire channel at risk, because they were trying to do a... you know, bring their trademark into play, and their copyright, I'm sorry. And basically, it didn't work. And he can keep his stuff up the whole time. But they're tired of him, like, doing all these racist things and getting away with it and still being, you know, making all this money off of other people's work. But, you know, it's just tricky thing. How do you guys feel about this?
It is really difficult to really identify what norms to apply when streaming. Like, let me explain that better. So you're at home playing video games with your friend. You talk shit to each other. You say a lot of stuff in the context of you hanging out with your buddies playing video games. Now we have Twitch, where we have this huge audience watching us do that. We're on a public platform. Different social norms apply to both those situations. You at home with your buddies playing video games. Are you addressing thousands and thousands of people? And things like this are just going to happen where people take the social norms of you and your buddies playing video games in the privacy of your own home, and then they're going to, I don't know what I'm trying to get at here. Obviously, this is a bad thing. Like, is PewDiePie still relevant? Like, are people still watching him?
Dude,
I was unaware.
He's still the number one
YouTube content creator.
Yeah.
Like, regardless. Millions and millions and millions of, what? Just income.
Subscribers.
Subscribers. Makes a lot of
like
money.
Like 3 years ago, it was $14 million a year, but I don't know what he makes
the
now.
The most money.
Yeah.
But what? It's not a... Okay, so he... Unfortunately, he has a track record for being racist because of the other thing, but that was clearly a joke. And on this one, like he... The character was... It's not racist because he doesn't know that person was black. He didn't know... He was just saying it's an internet slur.
I don't know. Then we're going to get into the whole argument of like the word itself.
It's an internet slur. That's what it's become. You know, people say it because it sparks emotion.
Yeah.
And he was really mad at this person.
I'm pretty confident that the like whatever intensity of the word that he said it wasn't like the full context of which it could have been blown out of proportion. I highly doubt he took the entire like history of, you know, of like how like this is a word that's not supposed to be used, and you know, and like I don't know, like the extent of like how he expressed himself, I highly doubt it was to like Paula Deen level where it was career destroying, where she actually was like,
or Dog the Bounty
showing,
Hunter.
It is showing her racist colors.
It is kind of interesting to see this in context of a video
say,
game.
Like having a slip up.
But I mean, to see somebody like PewDiePie do this is different than Dog the Bounty Hunter or Paula Deen or that dude from Seinfeld. Like all those people did that and it just ruined their career. And we expect that. But then we have this YouTuber, and that's kind of like what we accept as gaming culture. So it's like, do we get mad at this, or is this gaming culture, or should it be? And I don't know.
Yeah.
It was one word by a guy who says millions of words.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. But
it's not fine. It just, you know, it's going to happen.
I'm on Team PewDiePie with this, you know, when it comes to, like, there's so many, because if you think about it, there are a lot of white guys, Mexican guys, like, it doesn't matter what, that can say the N-word, and nobody bats an eye at it. Especially like, you know, if there's like that one white guy that hangs out with mostly black guys and he's throwing that word around and they let him throw that word around, you know, it's just, you know, like it's within context because that's how it's his circle of friends.
Right.
It's what he can get away with. But that's the thing. It's because he is broadcasting to like millions of different, like the general public. He is, you know, like any celebrity, you know, things are going to be blown out of proportion, out of the water than
speaking of which
what they are intended to, you know, like it was a slip up, yes, but that's what it should be kept at, just a slip up, nothing more.
Yeah slip up, like Kevin Hart having sex with that girl on video. Did you guys hear about this?
What?
Yeah, anyway.
No, I don't know.
Somebody's trying to extort him.
Cool story.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
A video came out of him having sex with somebody.
Which always happens. Dude, this is why I don't understand why people want
fame. What, is she underage or something?
I don't know. Have fame. Just don't get married like a douche. Like,
I don't know if that's the problem.
That's the problem. If you're going to be famous, you can't be in a relationship.
I don't think the problems are... The problems that come with fame are not caused by relationships. Dude, you get yourself into trouble if you're single, too.
Not so much. You only lose half your shit if you're not married and fuck around.
Prenup.
I remember Sting's wife was on Howard Stern, and he's like, you know, he's on tour. Like, how do you feel about that? It's like, he's Sting. He's going to be with tons of women. And she just understood that. But most, I don't know. If you're with like somebody like that, it's going to happen, I think. Anyway, and I don't even know why they're trying to extort money if the video's already out. It's a weird thing.
Yep.
Who's got the earbuds?
I got the earbuds. All right, let's talk a little hardware here. I saw these. I knew these existed, but I never really gave them much thought. But I have this problem at work where my earbuds do not reach all the way back. Like if I lean back in my chair, my earbuds just come flying out because they do not reach that far. Then I thought, why don't I just get wireless ones? My laptop has Bluetooth. And I got these Tautronics Bluetooth earbuds. They're like $20. These are not, like there's a bunch of brands out there. So I picked them up, thought I'd give them a try, and was pretty impressed with them. The sound quality is pretty decent. You strap them around your neck. They got little magnets, so they click together so you don't lose them. The range is great. They get like maybe 30 feet, 50 feet through walls. Like I'm never going to be using it at that range.
Wait, does it also Bluetooth
your computer and go to the bathroom? By the way, my Bluetooth headset, like half of the reason I, well, one of the greater perks to using Bluetooth is when I walk away and I could still hear everybody while I'm on the, like on the toilet or something. And then I'll come back and I'll be like, I heard everything, guys. Yeah. Not that they're talking shit, but I can basically pick up in the conversation or add to what I wanted to say.
So you heard all those things I said about you? Oh, shit.
No. It's not that. It's just like you don't miss the beat. You don't miss the beat.
Yeah. That is an advantage of having a wireless headset.
And well, I think nice I feel like Emilio needs that because Emilio goes to the bathroom so often in one podcast.
Yeah.
We need to give him like.
But then you have to hear him pee. And he has a wireless headset.
No. Just not a headset. Just headphones.
Just earbuds.
Yeah.
He can probably still hear us. From
so that way, when he comes back, he doesn't miss a beat, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I was pleasantly surprised with this. I just haven't had them long enough to really get a feel for the battery life, but they charge with the same kind of charger that my phone has, like a USB connector. So it's nice. I don't know why I never thought of this, but for $20, totally changed my life at work. It's so much easier using these things.
It's only $20? That's not bad.
Yeah, these Bluetooth earbuds are just like $20.
Do you have any complaints about it, though?
Not yet. I mean, it is kind of weird because they do have, you can get ones that are just little earbuds and they're very easy to lose, but these ones are connected by a wire to each other. And in the picture, they show those going around the back of the neck, I guess. So when you bring them down, you can clip them across your neck with the magnets. But it feels very weird for me to have wires dangling around the back of my neck. I don't know. But so far, so good. Like this is for $20, I'm not going to complain. As long as they work and the audio quality is decent, then yeah, that's great.
Can it also connect to your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Will you be using it for that?
Yeah, but it's a pain in the ass to like disconnect it and reconnect it and stuff.
Pairing.
Yeah. So, and I always pair my phone with the Bluetooth in my car.
Yeah.
I love it when I turn on my Bluetooth headset because it's paired to like five different things. And if something's off, it has like a list of priorities for pairing. And I'll try to pair and then I'll move on to the next device, and then it'll be like, you know, connected to Smoochie PC. No, connecting to Smoochie PC. It doesn't connect, so it just switches to connecting to HTC One.
It'll just
like
keep going until something's actually on.
Yeah, until and then and
that's
and then
pretty
it
good.
It's
though.
Funny.
How'd you
it's
set up funny. That order?
Huh?
The priority order.
I think
order.
It's just the
whatever you put in first.
Yeah, whatever I put in first.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Listener feedback. Quotius asks. Frittata or omelet? I've never had a frittata. What is it? Anyone?
Something with an egg. I know I've had one.
It's like a fried egg.
Frittata.
Anybody
know what a baked omelet?
Oh, okay.
A frittata, I believe, is when you actually bake the egg in the oven.
Okay.
But
well, I'm going to go with omelet because I love omelets, and I don't know what a frittata is, so can.
I'm going to go with frittata.
Oh, that looks like a quiche, man.
Yeah, it kind of looks like quiche.
Yeah, it's very
but
much
it
like a baby
taste
quiche.
Like quiche.
No. But I would go with a frittata.
Well, that looks pretty appetizing, though.
I hate omelets.
It's like egg cake.
If you give me an omelet, I'd be like, the fuck is this?
You're a weirdo.
I don't like omelets. I like
I'm
going to
go with a breakfast
medium.
Burrito on what? This one. I'm going to switch it up.
That's not even like a
that's option
scrambled
C.
eggs. Stir-fried eggs. That's basically what
Bobby turns the chessboard over.
Yeah.
And says, I will not play your game.
Breakfast.
God,
burrito.
I hate omelets.
Can't
no, I don't like omelets.
You know what's funny is downstairs, I get Mexican food from the place downstairs all the time, and I always get a bacon, egg, and cheese burrito if it's in the morning. And they have on their menu something that has like bacon, egg, cheese, and potato. They call it the Mesa burrito down there. And I must have ordered this burrito like 50 to 100 times, and it's like throwing them a curveball every single time. They're like, so no potato? I'm like, no potato, just bacon, egg, and cheese. And they're like, okay, wait, bacon, egg, cheese? I'm like, yeah, it's bacon, egg, and cheese in a burrito. We've been over this like 50 times. I'm your biggest customer, dude. I'm putting your fucking kids through college. But whatever.
So you're saying Mexican?
No, for
instance, you're saying Mexicans are dumb.
No, no, I get it. People freak the fuck out when you cut out carbs. Everybody should know I'm on keto.
Yeah, dude.
Keto.
If you throw them a curveball like that, they're just like, wait.
I asked for my burgers, no bun, and everybody's like, what? Did I mishear you? Or
I mean, in Southern California, I figure they'd get that a lot.
Yeah.
So. And I feel regionally, if you're in a nice part of town, if you're in La Jolla and you ask for a bunless burger, they're like, oh, here you go, no problem. Yeah. If you're in like Chula Vista, they're like, ¿qué?
Right. Like, I get it. I definitely get it. And then speaking of like egg preferences, I love my eggs poached. Like a medium poached egg is delicious. And then I actually ate some today for breakfast. I went out to my favorite cafe, had a bunless turkey, guacamole turkey club. And then I also got a Caesar salad, no croutons. And then I got two poached eggs. And when the eggs came out, the reason why I love poached eggs, because they come in a little bowl and they're like white eggs, like side by side, and they look like a pair of testicles.
And that's why you like them.
Their
testicability.
Yeah. So, no.
By the way, I have a name. I have a new word.
So much. That's why I like my eggs poached, two at a time in a small bowl.
I just made up a new word for your preference of eggs. It's a pregfence. Pregfence.
What?
Shit. I was almost there. It's there.
I mean, like, keep drinking. Keep drinking. It'll work out if you keep.
Pregfence.
Sounds like a pregnant breakfast.
Yeah.
Now, when I eat, I can look pretty.
And that's it for our podcast, guys, because it's going downhill quick.
Okay, but I do actually have a listener question. Guys, don't forget, you can drop off your listener questions any time of the week on our Discord. For this week, we were a little short, so that's why we're taking 10 minutes talking about eggs. But for me, I have a listener question, and I am thinking, if you guys had to give yourself a new handle, a new gamer handle, you had to stick out. I'm known as Smoochie. You're known as Digi. You're known as Digital Logic. Wait. Andrew's Logic.
Wow.
Shit.
Wow.
Sorry.
I was about to get really upset.
Sorry. Sorry. And so, like, if you absolutely had to retag, like, what name do you think you could be okay with? It could be one that you've had before in the past. It could be one you're making up on the spot. But what do you think you could be okay with going on forward?
Bobby?
I don't know. When I make up different accounts in HOTS, my other two accounts are in Carta 95 and Crooked. But that was kind of a joke to make.
So you have alt names that stick.
Yeah, but nobody calls me that. I don't know. If I had to rebrand myself, I kind of did. Like, I came up with the Robert Digital name, like, because that just seemed more mature to me. Because I got older, and I'm just like, you know, the whole idea of like a screen name or handle just kind of seemed so cheesy that Robert Digital kind of seemed like something that was still kind of my name, but still a little bit of fun in it. So I don't know. I figure I'd go with that.
You're saying you're going to be going with something you already use.
First of all, I don't think you should change your username. It's a sign of weak character.
Oh!
I actually have to do it because I used to have a problem getting stream sniped. So my second persona outside of Smoochie is Chia LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Based off of Shia LaBeouf. And I honestly prefer that username over Smoochie now. But whenever I get asked for my character name, I don't put in Smoochie. I put in Chia as my first name, because it's just ever so different, slightly different than just putting Chi in there.
Sure.
So Chia, something Chia would be my next gamer tag.
I'm going to take a page out of Prince's book, and I'm just going to go with a symbol of a dick and then go by the gamers formerly known as Ender's Logic.
Oh my God.
Hey, speaking of dicks, have you guys seen the trailer for American Vandal on Netflix? It is the funniest trailer I've ever seen. So you've seen Making a Murderer, right?
Yeah.
The Netflix special.
Yeah.
So this is a parody called American Vandal about someone who spray paints dicks on a bunch of teachers' cars at a school.
Yeah.
And they do.
You think it's a little close to home and that's why?
I mean, aside from that, just the parodying of Making a Murderer, like, they nailed it. And there's just like, you know,
Is it out yet?
I'm going to show it to you guys after the podcast here. But there's just one part where he just looks up at the camera and he's like, another dick, another day.
He just shrugs it. Oh my gosh, it's hilarious.
I started laughing so hard that my girlfriend from like the other room was like, what the hell is going on out there?
Yeah, because Bobby doesn't laugh. Robot. Yeah. Hey, robot, what are you doing over there?
I mean, like, dick jokes are a little base, you know, I feel like I'm above them. But when you do them right.
You're on the dick podcast.
I know, I know. But you know my stance on dick jokes.
They have to be,
they have to have.
Oh.
What?
I said I thought this was a titties podcast.
Yeah, but we really think about
dicks
more. We work
in all sorts of genitalia. And, yeah.
Genitalia.
All right. So American Vandal, I'll show you guys after the podcast here. All right. So where are we at here? I think we are...
Wrap it up.
Up and coming. What do we have going on?
Next week, I think the Divinity 2 all around, right?
Yep. Divinity 2 all around.
Go ahead.
No, for me, definitely Divinity 2. I am not obligated to travel anywhere. And if anybody asks me to do anything, my answer will be N to the no, because, well, N to the O, definite no, because I will be playing a shit ton of Divinity 2 immediately after this podcast. It's going to be dinner and Divinity.
Sounds like a good plan. I have held off on buying any games or anything that seems interesting. I'm just like not even considering it because I know I'm just going to be playing a ton of Divinity 2.
You almost bought tooth and nail, but Divinity 2.
It's on the wish list. We'll get to it later, but yeah. Divinity is definitely going to be taking up the most of my time.
Bobby, so if it's true that, if Mini Del Macho says an hour from where we're at, we kind of have to finish that tonight.
Yeah, we might be able to bang that out tonight.
Yeah. That's literally the first time Bobby's ever said those words.
Bang it out tonight?
Bang it out tonight. Okay.
To a guy.
Quit dicking around.
Bobby, you want to sign us off?
Nah. I'm good.
All right. Speaking for Bobby, Chi. I almost fucking said it. All right. Almost. Speaking for Bobby, Chi, and Super Guy Emilio, motherfucking titties. Titties.